Commodore Admiral Minor Levati.
Arash grimaced at his face in the mirror. He looked well enough. The same tall, trim figure, the same lean face. Handsome, actually. The same red hair, only lightly silvered at the temples. Decades of service in the regular space service. Combat experience, decorations. A fine, upstanding officer.
A fine, upstanding fool.
He shook his head abruptly and glared at himself. Time to quit dithering, to quit making faces in the mirror and do something.
But to lose it all.
It hurt. The years, the friendships, the trust. The certainty of his fate if he didn't do something. It had gone already, gone before he'd realized it. It had gone the moment he went to Jules with his worries about Lupescu. Gone irretrievably the first time he'd done Jules a favor that went over the line by so much as a hair. He contemplated, as he had contemplated before, simply going off on his own. But with Fleet on a war footing, it was even less possible. Commodore Admiral Minor Levati, so well known, so distinctive in appearance, could not book a flight off this station without someone reporting it. He had to take that convoy out, knowing all the time that the hounds were on his trail, were closing in. He had kept the contact code all these years, though he had never made contact himself. After the fiasco with the Crown Prince, he had never meant to. He had tried to forget. But now, in his need, his memory threw it up on his mind screen as clear as the day he first saw it. Perhaps he was, in truth, what Jules had made him in law. Or perhaps half his luck would be with him, and there would be no corresponding code on this station. Then he would have to be honorable, have to be the naive prey who does not hear the hounds until too late. He would have to endure the discovery, the disgrace, the ruin of a lifetime's honest service for the sake of a youthful error. In a way, he wanted to be that innocent. He called up the station's database, looking for the number that he hoped would not be there. But it was. And as it would have to be, the number's owner was an unexceptionable business anyone might call or visit. Remembrances, gifts, and flowers. He placed the call and spoke the words that would mean nothing without the knowledge in his head. Then he had to wait for an answer, his nerves drawn tighter with every passing hour. Oblo held out his coffee mug for a refill.
I was afraid she'd faint. Turned white as a sheet, she did.
Oh, you idiot, Oblo. Maybe she hadn't heard before.
I figured she must have. How was I to know?
You have a brain. I wish I'd had time to talk to her.
Well, what about?
Copper Mountain. I was wondering if she'd heard more than I have. I wish I could transfer over there. My brother.
Your brother is fine, Methlin. You heard that.
Morning, Oblo. Methlin. What's this about your brother?
Nothing. Methlin just wants to go play big sister.
Transfer? I doubt they'd let you right now.
Methlin bit into a sweet roll as if it were an enemy's neck.
Oh, I know. I did sort of ask. Got told no.
You're not the only one. I heard from the Admiral's clerk, Admiral Serrano's, that is, that Commodore Levati asked if perhaps Harris's old crew wouldn't like to transfer, seeing as she's so close. Relatively close.
Petrus sipped his own mug of coffee.
Wants to get rid of us, does he?
I think it was courtesy. He's, well, sometimes he's almost scrupulously polite. Working at it. The Admiral said no, by the way.
She would.
Mind yourself. She's our Harris's aunt, not just a mere admiral.
Mustang.
So am I, with everything that implies. So, how are your sections shaping up for this next mission?
Better. It's still not what I'd have liked. All our own people. But the new ones aren't bad. And that first crew settled them.
Good. We may see some trouble this time out, from what I hear.
Yeah, me too. I heard some of the mutineers are trying to set up deals with the free trader companies, and even the big consortium. Anyone who doesn't sign up gets whacked on their next trip.
The Commodore's not bad. I hear he's got good combat sense. Not up to Harris, of course, but still.
We don't know that, Methlin. His record's good, and Harris liked him even when she didn't completely trust him.
Came to our rescue that one time.
Yeah, he was kind of odd about that. But I don't argue with good luck. Anyway, if it goes as smoothly as last time, we'll be fine. As long as the crew does its job and nothing blindsides us.
Nothing's going to blindside us with Kutsudas up in Scan.
The convoy proceeded on its way, a string of transport and cargo vessels guarded by Vigilance and her gaggle of patrol and escort ships. The original plan, to have each convoy include two cruisers, had foundered on the shortage of cruisers. This made Rascal's weapons upgrade particularly valuable, and Levati placed her at the tail of the line, where another cruiser would have been. They were held to the speed of the slowest ship. In this case, two of the spherical hulls used by the Boros Consortium, loaded with ordnance for the border stations. Esme's relatively young crew had plenty of practice in adjusting jump point insertions and exits, in interpreting long scan. After the first two jump transitions, she began to feel less like a character playing a part and more like a real captain. Her crew was settling well. She could feel their confidence in her. Kutsudis found Methlin Mahari in the enlisted mess and sat down beside her.
Mahari, can I talk to you?
I don't know. Can you? What's up?
I don't know, but I'm going to go nuts if I don't tell someone about it.
Is this the best place?
Maybe not. Where?
You off shift or on?
Off.
2 hours. Break room for weapons 3. See ya.
Mahari slapped the table and left without another word. She made her rounds, bumped into Oblo, as usual, and suggested that he might want to meet her.
We need Petrus?
Doubt it. Likely someone's just leaning on the kid about something and he'd like to blow off a bit. Your insurance.
Gotcha.
They went their separate ways. 20 minutes before the 2 hours, Mahari ambled into the Weapons 3 break room and leaned over the shoulders of the two corporals who were studying a wire model of the main beam supports.
Something needs polishing.
Sir? What, sir?
Find it, and polish it very well.
The brighter of the two blinked again.
Sir, any idea how long we need to polish it?
1.5 hours should do it.
They left, and Methlin went to work. In 5 minutes, she had disabled the scan pickup that should have reported everything in the room. Oblo appeared 8 minutes later and checked her clearance before settling into one of the chairs. A pivot with a mug of something started into the room, saw them, and backed out without a word. The two of them chatted about inconsequential things until Kutsudis appeared. He had his own gear bag with him and produced one of his cylinders.
You don't trust us?
Don't talk to me about trust. This is all slippery stuff, nothing solid. I don't want there to be anything solid, but you need to know.
Can we have a noun? A subject?
Kutsudis glanced at the open hatch as if he expected a killer to step through it. Then back at Mahari.
The bridge crew is about to lose it.
Why? We haven't had any action I didn't know about, have we?
No, it's Levati, the Commodore. Something's wrong. He's not like he was.
Mahari felt a sudden lurch in her midsection, followed by a feeling of satisfaction. Everyone had told her how wonderful he was, but despite no evidence at all, she had never been able to like him. Her instincts were right. She forestalled Oblo with a look.
What's he doing?
It's hard to say. Mostly he's twitchy, jumpy. Everything's going fine, but he's wound up tighter than I've ever seen him. I hate... Look, I've known him for years. I was with him before he sent me to Commander Serrano. And I've never seen him like this. I don't feel right telling you, but I don't feel right about whatever's going wrong either.
What's Captain Brolson say?
He's getting tense himself. The way Levati's been jumping on everyone. We're afraid to say anything but yes, sir, and no, sir, on the bridge. And we'd become pretty friendly. You know how it is?
Mahari knew. All her instincts were jumping up and down, waving their arms at her. She looked at Oblo. His face showed nothing, but his eyes... Yes, his instincts, too.
Has he done anything... anything at all outside what he should? Given any questionable orders?
No. I can't even believe I'm thinking he would, but... if he'd been rejuved, I'd be worrying about rejuve failure.
What about communications?
What do you mean?
Has he made any unusual communications? Outside the convoy, or to unusual destinations?
I'm not monitoring his communications. I'll find out if you think it matters.
It might.
You'd better go, Kutsudis. We'll talk again.
All right. I need someone.
We're with you, Stefan. We won't let anything bad happen.
After he'd gone, Methlin turned to Oblo.
I was wrong. We do need Petrus. If anything's going on, if that bastard's going sour on us...
He's not going to lose Harris's ship for her.
Some days later, Kutsudas passed Mahari a data cube with Lavati's complete inbound and outbound communications log. When she put it in the cube reader, she found that he'd made notations alongside the entries. This, a tight beam to one or another of the convoy ships. This, a tight beam to a fleet ansible with destination codes indicating a report to headquarters. Inbound from a fleet ansible, origin codes, headquarters. So far, so good. Then, a civilian origination code. His wife, Kutsudas, had noted. Every few days, a message from his wife.
Lavati? Married?
Somehow, she'd assumed him to be single. She glanced at the messages. They weren't encrypted, and were about everyday things. His wife was having a new carpet installed. She was sure he'd like it. It was the same color as the old. The price of snailfish fin had gone through the roof. She supposed it was the effect of the mutiny. His uncle, the retired admiral, had dropped by and talked for an hour about the political situation. He was convinced that if the old king and Admiral Lupescu had been in charge, none of this would have happened. Her sister's youngest child had won a music prize. She thanked him for sending a parting gift from Sector 7 headquarters, but didn't he realize that the shipping charges had tripled the cost? She'd have been just as happy with the usual box of candy from the local confectioners. The enameled box was pretty, but she didn't understand the message on the paper inside. Or was it just something the people in the shop had left in by mistake? Mahari stopped and reread that message.
Lavati usually sent candy, but this time sent a box? Well, maybe he'd thought his wife would like a change.
Though any woman who would choose exactly the same shade of carpet to replace the old probably wouldn't want a change in gifts either. And surely Lavati would know it. Though Mahari had, in a long career, seen plenty of marriages founder on the shoals of ignorance.
An incomprehensible message inside.
Why send an enameled box that far? Why that box? What was the incomprehensible message? She glanced down the screen and found it. Lavati's wife had included it just in case it was his message and he cared to translate. A string of numbers and letters. It looked exactly like a jump point address and Ansible access code. Kutsudas's annotation, cautious, said that such a jump point and Ansible access code were in the files, but that he couldn't confirm that the writer had meant the string to denote them. Mahari scrolled on down the log. There, highlighted by Kutsudas. The convoy had passed through a jump point with the same coordinates as in the message Lavati's wife had sent. And in that system, Lavati had stripped a message from the Ansible, using that code. The message, in clear, said, "Merchandise undeliverable. Addressee unknown at that address. Refund waiting at the next port of call." Harmless enough, but the numbers had been inside a box which was delivered.
What merchandise was undeliverable? Not the box. Something else? Why did he suddenly buy presents for people at Sector 7 HQ and ship them all over the place?
And no civilian should have had a list of jump points the convoy would pass through to send a message like this to intercept the convoy. Or have known what the next port of call was to send a refund ahead. She read through the rest. Nothing more that didn't fit. Kutsudas had noted at the end of the list that their next port of call would be Minden Station. Mahari thought about that, retrieved the cube from the cube reader and put it in her pocket, then set off on a purposeful meander to find Oblo. She knew he and Petrus had a regular sparring session in the gym. She found him just as Petrus came down the ladder a few meters away.
Joining us, Methlin?
You should. How long has it been since you sparred with me?
Can't. I'm on shift. Just brought you an entertainment cube. The one you were asking about?
Not Bridge to the Moon.
Nope, didn't find that one. This is Micheline Hernandez's A Traitor Revealed, with that good-looking actor, Simon somebody, playing the general.
There was, of course, such an adventure drama. Mahari would not have stooped to anything less complete. She handed Petrus the cube and headed back to work, the lines of the play that were not on that cube echoing in her memory.
It cannot be that you, my general, have betrayed us. Wouldn't be the first time.
By the down jump into the system where Minden Station's complicated geometry sparkled with the frost of multiple vents, Petrus and Oblo had both reviewed the data cube. Now, 3 days out from the station, they met with Kutsudis in the gym.
What's going on out there now, Stepan?
It's pretty tense. Rascal was 5 minutes late coming out of jump. Well within limits, especially since those two Boros ships were 3 minutes late making insertion, and Rascal was supposed to keep station behind him. He chewed out Captain Suiza like she'd done something awful.
How'd she take it?
What could she do? Said yes, sir, no, sir, sorry, sir, in the right places. Didn't make excuses. Then 6 hours later, he calls her up and makes nice. Would she like to go on the courtesy call he's making to station commander, and so on? She's polite. Gives him her ETA. Of course, Rascal's behind everyone. A good 14 hours at least before she'd get to station. And he says never mind. She can be the deep picket like before. It is not like him, sir. I've never seen him like this. He's always been tough and a bit finicky, yes, but to ream someone out unfairly and then wait 6 hours to say anything and then make a dumb mistake like not knowing she'd be that far behind.
What if it wasn't a mistake? What if he never meant to have her along and it was just kind of a lame apology?
It's not like him. Look, you know how I felt when he sent me to Commander Serrano. I've been Levati's pet scan tech since I finished basic and ended up on his ship. I didn't want to leave him. But I came to recognize Commander Serrano as darn near his equal as a ship commander.
Kutsudis glanced around.
All right. A better ship commander, but not by much. I know Levati, the old Levati, the way you people can't. And this is different.
So what do you expect us to do, Stepan?
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm making it up and that there's nothing wrong with him and that he can't possibly be up to anything.
Stepan, we don't doubt your loyalty, any of your loyalties, but you have to face the facts you're trying to avoid. If he's changed, if there's something wrong, we can't ignore it. You can't ignore it.
I know that. I just hate it. Especially since you didn't know him before.
I knew him last cruise. He was good enough then. Naturally, I think Harris is better, but you're right. Not by much. I think he's been a good officer. Is that what you wanted to know?
Yes. I had to come to you. I trust you, but I can't... I needed to know you didn't just hate him because he was here instead of her.
Of course not. I mean, I may be Harris Serrano's friend, but I'm still a professional. A good officer is a good officer.
All right, then. What did you think of the communications log?
Damaging.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I haven't talked to any of the officers, but Sim, one of the comtechs, is worried about it, too.
It could still be innocent. I mean, suppose he did have... a premonition or something, and decided to send special presents to everyone he knew, and one of them was undeliverable. Maybe the shop figured his wife would pass on the note in the box.
Without instructions? Just a list of numbers and letters?
Well, she did send it on. Maybe things like that had happened before.
Not on the last cruise. I asked Sim.
How's Captain Burleson taking all this?
He's tense, too. He's an old Levati hand, same as I am. And so is our second and third.
I wish we had McKay aboard. He knew us. We knew him. We're in a ticklish spot here. The way we're talking, we could be charged with conspiracy.
We're not the ones making trouble.
Yes, we are. By regulation, anyway. In a time of war or mutiny, conversations critical of a commander like this? And the last thing this fleet needs is another mutiny aboard a ship.
The last thing fleet needs is another ship going over to the mutiny.
Or somewhere else.
What do you mean?
You know... I never talked to anyone about why Levati wanted me gone. I know he told Commander Serrano I'd gotten into some kind of trouble.
So?
So, I wouldn't have thought of it except for this. I never meant to mention any of it.
Stepan, if you don't spit it out, I'm going to squeeze you dry.
It was right after I came up with that scan extension that lets me get the lead on downjump scan. Suddenly, Levati had us heading towards the shaft. Just like we were going to use that grab anomaly jump point to skew around it. But then we went into the shaft instead. Turned out we were going in to rescue Commander Serrano in Sweet Delight.
What?
Yeah. That time you had the prince with you, remember?
Petrus glanced at Oblo.
I remember.
Well, so after we kicked those Benignity ships, and believe me, we were sweating that, attacking them in their own territory, I got to thinking about how Levati had known where to look. I had a buddy in Khan then, and we kicked it around a bit, just trying to figure out how he knew, or if it was just luck. Then I said something to Levati himself one day, and he rounded on me, told me to be quiet if I valued my freedom, that he'd had secret orders that no one was supposed to know. Maybe I better spend some time away from the ship while he tried to cover up my lapse. I don't know what he told you.
He heard we'd had bad data from Rotterdam.
Nope. We never went anywhere near Rotterdam.
So what you're saying is...
I figured it was secret orders back then. I had nothing else. But now...
Benignity.
I hope not. What a stinking mess that would be.
Is. Look at it, sir.
I am. Stepan, when you caught up with us at Navarin, did you have orders for that too?
Of course. The prince aboard, or at least one of the clones.
Well, that's a relief.
Not much, though. Petrus ran through the names he knew. Arkady Janice and Mahari, both in weapons. Oblo and Isigai Guar in navigation. Kutsudis in scan. His buddy Sim in communications. Himself in engineering. Far from enough. Others who had been in Harris's crew might trust them. Second-hand trust.
But how many? If Levati were turning traitor, what would he do?
Esteban, we're going to do nothing now but watch. We still have nothing provable. When he's off the ship on this courtesy visit, be sure we know.
Right, sir.
Petrus wished again he had someone to hand off this mess to. When Kutsudis left, Petrus turned to Mahari.
You tell Arkady and start thinking who you trust and who trusts you. Oblo, you'll talk to Izzy, same thing. I'll tackle Paddock. We ought to be able to swap watches around to cover once we know who's with us.
That would buy him time to think.
I wonder what she'd say.
They all knew which she that was.
So do I.
On the bridge, Oblo flipped on his comm unit.
He's gone. I'm sitting first nav. Keller's on the bridge. Burleson went with him.
Right. Who's on the honor guard?
None of us.
None of the old Harris crew. Only one who had been hers at all.
All right, keep us up.
After briefing the rest of the engineering crew on the situation, Petrus beeped Mahari. Neither she nor Janice was on right now, which made it easier, he hoped. They met in the engineering break room. Petrus flicked on the workstation and started his report. Mahari dealt with the scan, though she suspected Oblo could have intercepted it on the bridge.
Anything new?
Oblo and Sim got data suck out of the station communications nexus. There's a message for Levati. They can't read it. It's encrypted.
Originating?
Can't tell for sure. This station automatically strips originating headers.
Arash Levati met the fleet representative, another Admiral Minor recently promoted, and the station's civilian station master. The rituals of greeting, of exchanging courtesies, of being served light refreshment, grated on him as never before. The formal handing over of responsibility for the convoy, the necessary several hours of chatting about the news, the likelihood of militia action out here, the recent movement of civilian trade, down 47% with resulting shortages in infant supplies of all things, nearly drove him crazy. At last he was out of their offices, strolling about a station that was, after all, much less crowded than most. Commander Burleson had gone back to the ship, quite properly. Levati considered asking his escort to let him go on alone, but that was irregular, and he could not afford irregularity. The shopping arcade was almost empty. Levati wandered into Mir's fine china and poked aimlessly among the aisles. Behind a counter, a listless clerk watched him as if she knew he had no intention of buying. From there, he went into Charlotte's Confectionaries and bought a kilo box of mixed truffles as a dinner courtesy gift. He needed only a quick glance to realize that every shop had its comm number painted on the shop front. So he ambled along, in and out of almost every shop, a until he spotted the number he wanted. Macasio's, an art gallery.
Perfect.
By this time, his escort was, he suspected, both footsore and bored. He turned to them.
I'm going to see if they have any old prints. My wife's crazy about Sid Gravert, and sometimes these frontier galleries have old stuff that didn't sell in system. I'll probably be an hour poking around in there. Why don't you get yourself something to drink? And there's a nice seating area.
He nodded across the walkway, where a cluster of benches and tables gave a good view of the gallery entrance.
If you're sure, Admiral, we don't mind coming with you.
I think I can yell that far if I need to. And I have my emergency buzzer.
Right, sir. Thanks.
Arash waited until they were safely in place before moving into the gallery and giving his name to the man behind the counter. This time, the message waiting for him was long and detailed, and he felt a great, cold cavern open in his mind and heart. He could not possibly not.
Jules, you bastard.
Jules had anticipated even his most urgent concerns, his remaining loyalties. He had removed, as well as words could, the last sticking point. Lavati's concern for his people. He rummaged through the print bins with the owner's help and emerged 45 minutes later with a wrapped package and a receipt for 2 Sid Gravert drawings and a Muley Tyson gouache, unframed. Through dinner with Admiral Minor Casilla, he sustained a lively conversation about trends in modern art. Casilla, as he'd suspected, was an aesthetic nincompoop. Lavati returned to vigilance in the calm of a decision firmly made. One of the escort detail leaned close to Arkady Janisse, by then on the bridge.
Admiral's feeling better.
That's good.
Not so twitchy.
Less lip. I'm on duty.
The sergeant shrugged and went off. A few minutes later, the admiral appeared on the bridge. He looked much as usual, though, as the sergeant had said, less tense.
Could be the result of a good wine at dinner, or not.
Petrus ran a hand through his hair.
What it comes down to, we can't really do anything without maybe causing more trouble.
More trouble than him taking us over the border?
Can we trust any of the bridge officers?
They're not part of it. Whatever it is, it's not them. But they trust Lavati. If he tells them some fairy tale, they'll believe it.
Mahari looked ready to pull out a knife and stab someone. She probably was.
So we have to be ready to what?
We have to get word to Harris. She'll be able to figure something out.
We're here and she's there, wherever she is. We have to solve this here.
Petrus felt that his head was stuffed full of complications, nested into each other, each insoluble without dealing with 100 others.
We can't solve this here, or not entirely. Stepan, Oblo, can you get word out to Harris?
Without the Admiral knowing? Not directly, no. Anything we spike to the Ansible, the station will know about. All we can contact without causing possible comment is one of the other convoy ships.
There's Sweeza.
They all thought this over.
If she believes us, she might do it. Relay a message to Harris.
They'll know she contacted the Ansible.
Maybe, but she's farther out. She's on outside picket duty.
It's worth a try. Do it.
Oblo nodded and sauntered off, casual as always.
How will she know where we've gone? Sure as eggs is eggs, he's going to jump us out of here.
With Oblo and Izzy on nav, we could pass all the nav data to Sweeza, and Sweeza can follow our course. Stepan will have to fox the scan data somehow.
Petrus looked at Kutsudis.
I can mask it out, don't worry.
A futile statement. Petrus felt he was drowning in worry.
He can't stay on scan all the time. Lavati will get suspicious.
Well, 2 of the junior scan techs are ours, and he trained them. He's cross-linked the type beam to the scan desk, and he has 2 of the communications techs in on it.
That's too many. Lavati's not stupid, and a secret quits being a secret after a while.
Cover story?
Mahari was good at cover stories. Petrus was too worried to think of anything but decking Lavati. She had the half-sleepy look that meant she was concentrating.
Yeah, let me think. Look, what if there was a test of new stealth and scan gear? Captains aren't told because... I'll think of a reason.
They want it to be a fair test of the equipment, not of a captain's tactical skills. They know good captains could fox the test without meaning to. It's to be reported to Sector HQ upon return only. They put it on small ships first, the stealth stuff, and the big ship's supposed to see if it can see it. and the small ship's supposed to shadow the big one. A few of the technical crew know. I could know, being in engineering. Scan, comm. Yeah, that makes sense. Sort of.
Esme Sweeza, aboard Rascal, would have gnawed her knuckles if that wouldn't have been too obvious to the crew. First, Lavati chewed her out for something that wasn't her fault, and then attempted a clumsy reparation. That didn't seem like the suave, charming commander she'd last seen at Sector 7 HQ, but anyone could have a bad day. Then that strange message from Harris Serrano's old crew. She had no idea what was going on, but she had forwarded the message from Vigilance to Harris Serrano. Everyone had heard about Commander Serrano's former crew. She didn't know them well, but she had met them, most recently when Lavati invited the captains of the convoy onto the cruiser for a final toast before departure. She wondered how Petrus felt about serving under another captain, but that had made her think of Baron, so she pushed the thought aside. Now she was faced with a command decision. Commodore Admiral Minor Lavati had ordered her to hold station in this system while he went back for another convoy. Esteban Koutsoudis, himself a legend of technical expertise, had passed on Petrus Kenvenard's request that she follow Lavati instead, shadow him, and report all navigational information back to Serrano by encrypted Ansible flashes. An admiral's order against a warrant officer's request should have been no contest. Her gut churned.
Why am I even considering this?
If nothing was going on, if Serrano's friends were just overreacting to some personality quirk of their new commander, she would have no excuse at all for what she was thinking of doing. If no one discovered, but of course it would be discovered if only afterwards, and then the court-martial and the disgrace, and with things as they were at home, she tried to put that out of her mind, or at least on one side. If she disobeyed orders and nothing was wrong with Lavati, she'd be court-martialed. That was the worst that could happen.
No.
If mutineers came into the system where she wasn't keeping station, that would be another evil come from her decision. But if Lavati had lost it, if he'd gone crazy, or, worst case, if Lavati was a traitor, then if she obeyed his orders, she'd be helping him. If she acted on her own initiative to follow him, she might, if he didn't realize she was there, be able to foil whatever plan he had. If he did realize it, Vigilance could blow Rascal into confetti. Perhaps not easily, but certainly.
Where was the greater danger?
Surely, in Lavati as traitor, loose with a cruiser full of weaponry. And crew, some of whom were definitely loyal.
What will happen to them? If Lavati goes over to the mutineers, perhaps the Benignity.
She liked Commodore Lavati. He had been, to this point, a good commander, insofar as she had the experience to judge. He had listened respectfully to Captain Timmons's objections to the convoy arrangement. He phrased his orders clearly. They had delivered the convoy safely.
Maybe a mutineer? Or a traitor? Or crazy?
She wasn't on the ship with him, and had not been for weeks. Things changed. People changed.
Have Harris Serrano's friends changed?
She could imagine Petrus, who loved Harris Serrano, making a mistake about Lavati because he loved Harris and Lavati wasn't Harris. Methlin Mahari, concerned about her brother, might overreact.
Not Oblo.
Oblo, battered and scarred and completely unawed by any circumstance, she could not imagine changing. He might be wrong, but he wouldn't go crazy. And his instinct for trouble, for wrongness, was legendary. Harris trusted Oblo. Esme trusted Harris. She would also trust Oblo. She ignored the flaws of formal logic in that emotional syllogism. Now to convince her own officers that she wasn't crazy or traitorous.
Would they believe the truth? Or should I concoct a cover story? Suppose a secret exercise in, say, stealth technology?
She worried at the idea, tugging out its possible fibers and trying to make a plausible reason why a patrol ship might shadow a cruiser against the orders of an admiral. Petrus had finally begun talking to bridge officers, like Lieutenant Foucault, trying to prepare them for possible trouble.
Can you tell where he's taking us?
Ultimately, no. He's jumping us in and out of systems with multiple routes. Someone trying to trace us would quickly have more options than anyone could follow up. Yet we're still in Familia's space. He says he's got secret orders. If it weren't for you, I'd believe him.
If I'm wrong, Lieutenant, I'll fess up. But I don't think I am. He made a type beam communication to an Ansible in the system we just passed. And according to the comm watch, it was addressed to one of a list of reportable addresses he'd gotten just before we left Sector HQ.
Damn it. I can't believe he'd be so stupid.
I think he's desperate. I can't imagine why either, but we have to be careful.
I will be. I hope our tail's with us.
You and me both.
Esme could feel the increasing tension in her own crew as they followed Vigilance for jump after jump.
I don't understand. Where are they going?
We don't know, but we're finding out.
It's ridiculous, this course. Where could he be heading?
Esme did not tell him what Petrus had relayed of his suspicions, though she did encode it for the next tight beam she sent. Another jump, this one into an uninhabited system. Vigilance had entered at low relative V this time, and now decelerated still more. Rascal stayed closer for a couple of hours, during which Esme sent off the new data.
He's been jumping end on end or clearing a system within 70 minutes. I wonder what he's waiting for.
From the expression on her navigation officer's face, he was reconsidering her original explanation, as well as Lavati's course.
We're on the border, Captain. He can reach Benignity space in one jump from here, if that's where he's going.
Look, we can't just let him cross. That's handing them one of our newest cruisers and the crew.
We don't know for sure that's what he's up to. Right now, he's not doing anything. But that's a possibility.
Is that what it's been all along, Captain? Did you suspect something?
I wouldn't have, but for Harris Serrano's old crew aboard Vigilance. They tight-beamed me that he was acting oddly. They didn't understand, but they were worried.
Worried enough to risk court-martial. I hope you're right, Captain.
I hope I'm not. I'd much rather be wrong and in trouble than face with a traitor admiral in command of a ship like that.
So what are we going to do? If he jumps and we follow him over the border, then...
It could start a war. I know that. Weapons, tell me what we have that could take Vigilance.
Take a cruiser? That cruiser? And survive? We couldn't, Captain. I mean, if they really don't know we're here, we might get some shots up the bustle, just as you did at Xavier. But stern shields have been beefed up since then, though. We might not get through in one salvo. In which case, Vigilance would blow us away and go skipping off where she liked.
And slipping into docking distance and trying to hold if she was running up to a jump would also blow us all. Keep working on it. We're going to have to stop that ship somehow. And I prefer to defend my actions in court rather than have one convened on a lot of debris and corpses.
You could contact him directly.
I don't think so. If I had another ship to box him with, I'd try it. But he's an admiral minor. Suppose he decided to come back. He could do it as an admiral dragging in a subordinate who had disobeyed orders, and then run another time with another ship. No? If he starts running to jump, I'll challenge and fire on him if I have to.
What if he builds speed by micro-jumping?
We're more agile and faster. The problem's not going to be catching him, but how to hold him when we have. I just hope he's not waiting for reinforcements, for some Benignity ship to arrive and give him an escort. We should be able to do enough damage to one ship to prevent its taking off, but two? That'll be harder.
The hours passed. Esme tried to stay calm, tried to think, but felt her nerves drawing tighter with every minute that passed. He could just jump. Unlike a civilian ship, Vigilance could make a blind jump this far from a jump point and hope to come out in real space somewhere near its intended destination. Lavati had to be worrying about pursuit, had to feel, with that commander's instinct, that he was in danger.
What if he isn't waiting for a contact? What if he's waiting for a specified number of hours and might hop out again at any moment?
Esme's eyes felt gritty with sleeplessness, but she dared not leave the bridge and try to nap. Whenever he did something, she would have to act instantly. Commodore Admiral Minor Lavati leaned close to the scan desks. Kutsudas could smell the faint odor of his nervous sweat.
Are you sure there's nothing out there?
Sir, I'm not finding anything.
The scan computers had been told that Rascal did not exist. Every few hours, they kicked up a query, and every few hours, he reassured them. Nothing is there, ignore it. He'd just dealt with the query again when Lavati came on the bridge. Kutsudas hated direct lying, but evasion didn't bother him.
I have a feeling. You know that itch you get between your shoulders when you know someone's looking at you?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to fall into any mutineer traps.
No, sir. Me neither. And I don't see any sign of mutineer ships or any other ships. System's clean, sir.
You're the best, Kutsudas. If they were there, you know. How long have you been on duty?
Sir, you said you were worried, so I came on early. I've been coming on at every insertion and down jump, just in case.
Ah, good man.
Lavati turned away. Kutsudas busied himself with the scan system. Suiza was still there, yes. But if Lavati was making deals with the Benignity, he didn't want a flotilla of black scratch ships jumping in on top of them. He'd experienced that in the Xavier system. Once was enough. The hours passed, and Lavati did not call for another jump. Instead, he paced back and forth, back and forth. He left the bridge for only moments at a time. Kutsudas went off for a short nap, but he couldn't really sleep. When he came back, he stared at the display, wondering what would happen next. He wished Lavati would change his mind, be what he'd always thought the man was, a fine fleet officer, pleasant and competent and thorough.
What the...
Then he stiffened. There, far away from the system's mapped jump point, a curious ripple in the scan, as if someone had dropped a very small pebble into the far edge of a pond. He snatched that input for his station.
Sir!
What?
Lavati stayed across the bridge from him, where he'd been listening to some engineering reports, but Keller, the exec, came over to look.
Something coming in, sir, and not at the jump point. At least I think it is. It's too far away. Could be an FTL trace.
Lavati came nearer.
Direction?
Unclear. It's skipping. It's definitely an FTL trace. Someone with a badly tuned drive. Just sort of hitting the surface of normal space and bouncing back out.
Can you tell anything about mass?
Not yet.
Kutsudas watched the screens. The two other scan techs on watch leaned toward him.
Benali, Vince, watch your own screens. There could always be more than one thing going on. I've got this.
Rascal's scan officer, lacking Kutsudas's personal additions to standard equipment, identified an arriving ship minutes after Kutsudas did.
Something coming in, Captain.
Esme looked at the scan and saw the familiar pattern of a badly tuned FTL drive just skip-jumping through. Was it even bound for this system? It didn't come in like she thought Serrano would, a clean down-jump. It could be a Benignity ship, come to lead Lavati away. She had to do something.
Bring us to Red.
Those sitting first at the positions raced to put on pea suits, while their seconds acted. Chief Humberley held her pea suit ready. She stepped backwards into it. The firsts, suited now, returned to their places, and the seconds went to suit up.
Weapons ready.
That would light up Vigilance's scan displays. At least their shields were already active. She turned to her comm officer.
Get me a tight beam to Vigilance.
Kutsudas, trying desperately to dissect the fluttery scan signal into something he could identify, he hoped very much it was not a Benignity ship, was shocked when the warning red flashers showed live weapons in close proximity, where scan showed no ship at all.
What?
Too close for the in-jumping ship, too close, and no ship icon.
Suiza.
It had to be Suiza, bringing her weapons live, but Kutsudas had no idea why.
What have you...
Commodore! There's a tight beam message from RSS Rascal. Suiza commanding.
Suiza? That stupid... What does she think she's doing? Kutsudas, you are relieved. I don't know if you're exhausted or a liar, but you let a pissant lieutenant crawl up our tail. Get to your quarters. I'll deal with you later. Pipe that message to my office.
Kutsudas, more shaken than he'd ever been, shook his head at the second. Luckily, one of the old crew, who came to relieve him.
I didn't see it. I swear I didn't see a thing. It's not there.
Go on, Stepan. You're exhausted. It'll be all right.
Lavati, on the communication screen in Esme's bridge, looked thoroughly disgusted and angry.
Lieutenant Suiza, you are in big trouble. Just what do you mean by disobeying orders and gallivanting around the universe?
Esme had thought about what to say that might take suspicion away from the Vigilance crew.
Sir, may I ask if the Admiral's bridge crew had detected Rascal prior to the Type B message?
No, you may not ask. Answer my question, dammit.
This was not the suave, pleasant commander she'd met at dinner aboard.
Sir, the Admiral is aware that Rascal has been fitted with a new suite of weapons?
Yes, what of it?
And a new suite of stealth gear, sir, which I was told you were not aware of, and which I'm under orders, secret orders, to test in a realistic situation. A ship-on-ship pursuit, in fact. So, when the Admiral left, I executed my other orders and followed. Since the Admiral has not commented before, I presume we were not detected.
You weren't. Not until you brought your weapons live. Care to explain why?
Sir, we're out near the border with the Benignity. I'm assuming the Admiral is aware of another ship entering the system. On the possibility that it might be hostile, I brought the weapons live and contacted you so that you would not have to worry about us when we seemed to jump out of nowhere.
I didn't know about any such stealth capability.
Of course not, sir. It was all highly secret.
And they gave it to a jumped-up captain with a checkered past in Altiplanen? Somehow I doubt that, Landbride Suiza.
I'm not the Landbride anymore. I've renounced it officially before witnesses. I told you that, sir, at the dinner.
So you did. Still, I could as easily believe you somehow suborned someone in my crew to conceal your presence. Suiza, you are meddling in something you do not understand.
You're right, Admiral. I don't understand what you're doing. And I am concerned that you are out here alone, on the border.
You're not the only one who can have secret orders, Suiza. I'm not here because I decided to go for a joyride. If we end up in a full-scale war because of you, I...
Esme dared not glance aside to see if her scan officer had identified the incoming ship. She just wanted to keep Levati engaged, keep him busy so he didn't jump vigilance out.
Not because of me, Admiral.
Back off, Suiza. That's an order. Back off. Go home, and if I were you, I'd keep my mouth shut.
With every word he spoke, Esme became more convinced that he was, in fact, a traitor.
No, sir. I don't entirely trust you, sir.
You flaming idiot! Are you trying to get yourself and your crew killed? You do realize vigilance could blow you apart like tissue paper, don't you?
Out of the corner of her eye, she could see a sort of ripple of dismay go through her bridge crew. But she herself felt steadier now that he'd openly threatened her.
Sir, I've been yelled at by Admiral Senior to you, and with all due respect, sir, yelling at me isn't going to work. Tell me what you're doing and why, or I will sit right here watching you until I figure it out for myself.
No, you won't, because I will run right over you and jump out of here. Damn it, Suiza, haven't you caused enough trouble in this organization? Back off or else do exactly what I tell you. Want to know what I'm doing? I'm under orders to make an illicit jump into Benignity space to pick up a very important defector. I've been told it's of utmost importance. Now that you've stuck your nose in, you can guard my back.
Yes?
Captain, there's an urgent message. Ansible relayed from a Captain Suiza?
In code?
Yes, sir, in code.
Harris frowned as she shoved her feet into her boots and headed to the bridge and the decryption desk.
Esme Suiza is back in fleet and a captain. That's good. Now what?
Harris sat at the desk, inserted her command wand, entered the authorization numbers, and watched the message wriggle into clear. Urgent, urgent, urgent. Petrus Kenvenard aboard Vigilance reports suspicious activity by Admiral Minor Levati. Requests Rascal relay messages to you and Shadow Vigilance. Will report via Ansible.
Captain, there's another from the same source, by a different relay. I was just downloading all messages for this ship, and I...
See how many there are. Forward them all to this desk. We have a situation.
The next message gave a set of navigation coordinates. Vigilance taking this course. Will follow and report. The third, fourth, and fifth were the same. Harris could almost see the big cruiser trailed by the little patrol through one jump point after another, zigzagging through familiar space.
What is Levati up to? And why doesn't he realize Suiza is back there reporting on him? Petrus must have convinced Kutsudis.
Navigation. I'm going to read off some jump point coordinates. Throw me up a visual and let's see if we can figure out where someone's going.
She read the coordinates aloud. She didn't want the bridge crew to know the rest of this yet, and while Nav set up the visual, she wrote out her own quick report to Sector HQ. Whatever Levati was up to, she was sure he was not acting under orders.
Captain, An urgent from HQ was down the queue.
Send it.
She watched as that message came up clear. All ships, all ships. Report any contact with Cruiser Vigilance or Patrol Rascal. These ships failed to report on schedule. Presumed location, 389.24.005. Any ship jumping through that point, report debris fields or other evidence of conflict.
Right.
Someone had noticed they weren't where they were supposed to be. She encrypted her report, told the comm officer to tightbeam it to the system Ansible, and looked up to see the nav officer's visual up on the main screen. It looked like a random walk example in a math text, but something about it nagged at her mind.
What kind of jump points?
All multiples, nothing under a 3, but mostly low-density systems.
Not random at all, then, but an attempt to throw off pursuers. And, except for 2 jumps early in the sequence, they trended toward the border with the Benignity.
Damn the man!
Heads turned.
Sorry, we have a situation. A fleet cruiser possibly trying to abscond to the Benignity. I've just sent a message to Sector HQ, but by the time someone there figures out what to do, it'll be far too late.
You're going after him?
We're going after him. Alone, because we can't strip this system of the other ships. We have evidence that the crew, or some of the crew, may be aware that something's wrong, but they don't know what. In the context of a real mutiny, they're unlikely to start trouble.
Though it was worth hoping Mahari or Oblo would manage to knock Lavati on the head anyway.
But, sir, how can we know where to find them? They could be anywhere, and we can't cross the border. That'd start a war.
There's a tail on them. A very smart junior officer took the initiative and is reporting at every jump point. When we know what point next to the border they're at...
But they'll see the tail. They have to. They've got scan.
Yes, but they've got scan technicians who are loyal. They're covering the tail. What we need to do is get closer to the points they're likely to pick.
Do you know whose ship it is?
It's mine. Or it was. Admiral Minor Lavati's on it now. It's my crew who figured out how to get word out.
There was a long moment of silence as they digested this.
But thanks to the mutiny and the resulting scrambling of crew, a good part of the crew wasn't on the ship before and probably hasn't a clue.
Well, how are you... we going to stop them if we find them?
The obvious solution was one Harris didn't want to contemplate.
I'll figure that out when we find them. First, we have to do that.
Should I put a message to Rascal onto the General Ansible relay, sir? Do you think they could pick up messages, or are they lying too low?
Lying low, I would think. And I don't want to alert Lavati by sending messages to the Shadow we hope he doesn't know he has.
Right. It must be tough on Captain Suiza.
Not any tougher than things have been before.
But Harris could easily imagine the younger officer's tension. She was disobeying orders. She was sneaking along behind a ship that could destroy her if it noticed her. She was way out on the end of a very fragile string. Still, Suiza had a habit of making good decisions in emergencies.
Keep going. Keep on his tail until I get there.
She did not follow the earlier part of Vigilance's twisting course. She headed straight to the point indicated in the most recent of Suiza's messages. By cranking Indefatigable to the limit, she was able to ice through the intervening jump points and hoped that she would be no more than one jump behind when she came out and got Suiza's outgoing message. Her ship still had that annoying vibrato in its FTL drive, one that would leave its signature scrawled across any system it came to. But that had its uses, too. Though Kutsudis wouldn't know it as her ship, he wouldn't miss that it was some ship. Indefatigable wallowed out of FTL with a last gut-wrenching shimmy, and Harris wished very much she had Kutsudis here to sort out the wavering bars of probability on the scan. If there was anything in this system, it was likely Lavati and his tail.
The Serrano Legacy, Against the Odds, is continued on the next CD.